Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary, and I'm joined with Josh, and our guests this week are Clara and Kath.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So nice to have you back.
Good to be here.
Good. Getting ready. We're getting ready for our winter storm, so Listen, y'all listen to our podcast. Get hunkered in through this storm and
get
go
cozy.
Back and listen. Yes. We've got a lot of good topics. And our topic today is Jesus, the bread of life.
But, very good.
Yeah, it's exciting because the more we know, the better off we are. Right? Knowledge is power.
Right.
Yes.
That's
right. So let's just get started.
All right. Well, when I was thinking about this study, I was thinking about my favorite bread, and it's like real popular these days, sourdough.
Uh-huh.
And if you've not had a sourdough grilled cheese, you're missing out.
I haven't, so you can feel free to bring me one.
And some grass-fed butter. Mm. Well, tonight I'm going to start out with our key verses, and we're going to be in the book of John. That's Big John. Not 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but the Big John. Chapter 6, verses 47 and 48. And it says...
And these are red letters.
Yes, they are. 47, 48. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he who believes on me has everlasting life. I am that bread of life." So I just think, you know, when you think about bread, it's a sustainer, and it is good for you. You know, if it's a whole grain bread, it's probably even better for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to ask how the carbs are in that.
Right, exactly. But we're not worried about the carbs.
That's
in
right.
This study tonight. We're going to talk about the bread of life, and we're going to get into this. And Clara has a story, kind of like a parable, about making yeast rolls. So she's going to share with that.
Well, when Kath first mentioned this subject, the bread of life, I kind of wondered, well, is there going to be enough information, you know, on this topic to really do a podcast? But the word bread is actually used 330 times in the King James Version. But this whole subject is about Jesus is the bread which gives life to us. So I wanted to tell a little bit about my bread experience, kind of like a parable, because this is the way Jesus taught. You know, he taught by stories that people were acquainted with and they could relate to, and then he would just take that and compare it to spiritual things. So that night, as we talked about this topic, I went to bed about 10 o'clock, and then I woke up about 11:15, and God gave me this perfect illustration about bread. So I thought about the details, and I over and over in my mind for like half an hour before I went back to bed, and I thought, yes, Lord, this is perfect. This is what I need to talk about. So my bread means homemade yeast rolls, and it's one of my specialties. So when I plan a big meal, and if I have time, yeast rolls are always on the menu. So like at Thanksgiving time, every Thanksgiving, I wake up early in the morning. First thing I do is mix up the yeast bread, knead the dough, grease the bowl, and put the bread in there to rise. And then I begin preparing the other dishes for the dinner. And a couple of hours later, the dough's risen enough. You got to push it down, you know, let it rise again. It takes time. It's consuming. So there's a lot of other things to do. So I start working about, you know, getting the potatoes ready and the dressing and all those things. And after about another hour, the yeast is risen and the bread is ready to shape into rolls. So I sit down at my kitchen table. I have this big pan I've used for like half of my life. And it will hold about 40 homemade yeast rolls. So I shape all those and get them in the pan all nice and even and covered up. And again, set them aside to rise. And in the meantime, I go ahead and finish all the preparations for the turkey and the dressing and ham and potatoes and all the things that you have, you know, for Thanksgiving meal. So now it's almost time to put the bread in the oven. And everyone gets excited because that's the last thing that has to bake before the meal is complete. So we're all anticipating this wonderful big meal, and it's time to put the rolls in the oven. And everyone is waiting around the stove. So when the buzzer goes off, I know that it's time to pull that bread out of the oven and get that big chunk of butter and melt all over the top of them. And it just smells so good. Everybody's just so ready to eat. And the desserts are on the table. The whipped cream is there besides the pumpkin pies. And the drinks are ready. And the salads are all on the table.
Yeah, you're starving to death.
I know. Oh, but it gets better. So all the foods are on the serving table. And then what everyone's been waiting for, the heavenly rolls are put out on the table. Perfectly brown with another big chunk of butter so you can just smell the goodness. So, we're ready to feast. We say our prayer to our Heavenly Father for thanks. And finally, the warm buttery yeast rolls are served. But, does everybody want bread? That's the question tonight. Mm. Does everybody want bread?
Right.
Well, we're going to come back and tell more about this story in just a little bit.
That's
after
good.
Kath
that
reads,
is good.
Kath reads,
that's good.
Oh, God gave that to me in the middle of the night. So.
Well, and did you know that Bethlehem, where Jesus was born,
yes.
means
yes.
house of bread?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
our
it
pastor
does.
Taught us that.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. So let's go on to the next passages of Scripture. We're going to back up just a little bit. We were in 6 before, we're 6 now. But we're going to go back to verses 22 through 29. It says, "On the following day, when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. Verse 23. However, other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into the boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. Verse 25. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, which kind, you know, that back in that day it's teacher. When did you come here? Verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him. What they were telling him was, he was telling them to seek him, not what he could do for them, but to seek his face, not his hand. Verse 28, Then they said to him, What shall we do, that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.
So, if I could just interject here, the work of God that Jesus is talking about here is the work of faith. Because if we look at that verse 29, he said that you believe in him whom he sent. So believing is what? Having faith,
that's right?
Right.
Yes.
When we believe, we have faith that what his word says is true. So that's the work that he's talking about there, that we believe in him whom he was sent. And of course, that's the Father.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that he was telling them to don't seek what I can do for you, but seek me.
Me, yes.
Because if we are in true relationship with him, mm-hmm. he's going to meet every need. We don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to meet a need and ask him to meet the need. But if we will seek him, like Matthew 6:33 says, seek him and his righteousness, and then all of those things will be added to us. I think that was the best thing that stood out.
He's everything. We don't just seek the good, happy moments, you know, that he has so much more for us
right.
than just that little bit that you're seeing right there, you know, because, you know, all these miracles that took place were spread out, you know, so I want to seek him in the between the lines, everywhere, you know, all the other days I want to seek him.
In our Sunday school, we're talking about Joseph and seeking him. How can we seek him in the bad times if we can't, or how can we seek him in the bad times if we can't seek him in the abundance?
Right.
You know, when we go through those hard times, we know that he's going to be there with us, but we also need to thank him for those times of abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's
and the
true.
Extravagant
well, that's
mercy.
Faith building. When we go through these trials and tribulations, it builds our faith.
Yeah.
If everything was all hunky-dory great all the time, that's I think James you would
says.
Forget to pray.
There was no testing in
right.
that. There was just, we would never know
right.
if we had faith or if we really loved him for who he is.
Or if
just
we were
what
just living life. Right.
Well, we've got several more scriptures here in John 6, verse 30 through 51. So in verse 30, it says, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you?'" See, they were looking for a sign.
Mm-hmm.
"What work will you do?" Verse 31, "Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat."
In verse 31, you said manna.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking up through this study, and I've been in church my whole life. I've known Jesus. He's made himself real to me. And I think this was the first time that I had really looked into what manna was, although I do have a little thing that I do with my kids that we'll talk about later. But the manna, the word means, what is it? And manna, what is it? It's a bread-like substance that tasted like honey.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm in.
I wonder if it was local honey.
Well, I don't know that they shipped then. A lot of honey back then.
Okay.
That's a good one.
Okay, verse 32. "Then Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives
yes.
you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.'" Now, isn't that something that they thought Moses, the bread comes from Moses? Well,
mm-hmm.
Moses was just an instrument, you know. It was the Father that every day sent down that manna from heaven and fed them.
That's good.
So there's 34 says, "Then they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.'" Yeah, now they got excited. Now they wanted it,
right.
you know, after what Jesus talked about. But Jesus said in verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out."
That's a wonderful promise right mm-hmm. there.
Thank
yes.
you, Lord.
Yes, this, and they didn't really understand
mm-hmm.
this, but we had, you know, we have to keep on and think about it, not just in the material things that we
mm-hmm.
can see with our own eyes, but through the spiritual eyes. That's what Jesus is trying to tell
right.
them here.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 38, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So here Jesus is transitioning, you know, from the statements that he made about the bread of life and that he will never die. But now he's saying, oh, nothing's going to be lost.
Right.
I'm going to raise you up at the last day. So here we have this big picture of salvation and the resurrection, and yet we don't really know what they understood.
Right.
But the last two verses there that I read, verse 40, 39 and 40, it states that he would lose none. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful, remarkable
yes.
thing? Lose
mm-hmm.
none of those who were thus given him of the Father. Do you realize we are the gifts that God gave to his Son, Jesus? We are his gifts
right.
because we are the redeemed of the Lord. And so we've been given to him. And it says, the many sons and daughters whom he was to bring to glory shall all be forthcoming, and none of them shall perish. Matthew 18:14 says that none of them shall perish. And Matthew 11:14 says that the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And so we have to talk about salvation here. Christ's undertaking for those, you know, that given him extends to the resurrection of the bodies. He said, I will raise it up again at the last day. We're all looking forward to
right,
that.
Amen.
That we're anticipating that because Jesus said it. And the body is a part of us, right? The body,
yes.
Soul, and spirit. The body is a part of us. And therefore, it's part of Christ's purchase and his purpose. So it pertains to the promises, and therefore it shall not be lost. So the undertaking of all of this is not only that he should not lose one person, but that he should lose nothing, no part of that person, and therefore not the body. That's hard for us to comprehend,
mm-hmm.
because we wonder, well, especially as a child, well, if you drown, how is your body going to come back? If you're burnt up, you know?
Right.
It's a mystery. He's God.
Right.
He can do anything.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to have an explanation. We don't have to say how it's going to happen. We don't know. We just
right.
know it's going to happen because by faith, this is the works that we have to do, is to believe what
right.
Jesus said.
And without faith, it is impossible to please
him. God. That's
if we
right.
don't, if we don't believe that he can do the impossible, then we're negating him, or we're making him less than, and that's not how we should be.
Absolutely. Faith is hard sometimes,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but we've seen enough of it. That's what Jesus was trying to tell them here, you know, that the manna came from the Father God, not from Moses. So,
right.
But this will be accomplished during the resurrection, when the souls and the bodies of the saints shall be reunited and gathered to Jesus, and that he may be present them to the Father. Wow. There's a lot of things we could talk about there.
Oh, yeah. You know, the fact that we have everlasting life, you know, that's freely given to us because we have accepted him.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe by faith that
yes.
he is who he says he is.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes, and that's what he was trying to tell
yes.
these people here at this, when he was given this little speech. And let's go on to verse 41, because they did reject him.
Yes, they did.
So we're still in John 6:41.
His own rejected him. Yeah.
Well, in fact, that's what this says right
yes.
here. The Jews complained about him.
Yes.
Why? Because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, ah. Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?
Right.
How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? They right. were skeptical, weren't
yes.
they? They always saw with their natural eye.
Right.
We don't see the spiritual things of God by looking
right.
at the natural, because we would never understand any of it. But he said that he came down from heaven. So, in verse 43, Jesus expounds on this, and he kind of rebukes them. He said, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, he goes back to the prophets. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Verse 46, not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Now, who was he talking about there? You know, talking about himself.
Self,
because
yeah.
no one had seen God
right.
except that he that was from God.
But 47 is my favorite.
47 mm-hmm. is a very, yeah. You want to read that, Mary?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Most assuredly I say unto you, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead.
Mm. Yes, amen. I have that underlined because this is a salvation message. What do you have to do? Believe in him, right? Mm-hmm. And have everlasting life. And then there again, he reiterates this, I am the bread of life. So do you think they're starting to comprehend a little bit about what he's saying here?
Right. Oh, yeah.
If they don't, then
something's
it's their own
making
fault.
Sense. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
They're seeing it. They're hearing it.
Yes.
He's convincing them.
Right.
And he talked about the manna again. Oh, well, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness, but guess what? Mm-hmm. They died.
That's right.
But he is the everlasting right. life, the bread of life forever and ever.
This bread was just meant to sustain them for a period of time.
Right.
But what I'm going to give you is
forever.
Yes. Woo.
Forever.
That's good.
Ever.
Yes.
I am the bread of life.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Okay, and then he goes on to say in verse 50, this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die.
Praise God.
Ooh, and then 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Are you finally getting it? You know, he has it.
Right.
That's how we learn, but repetition, repetition.
Right.
He's saying this again. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world.
You know, I believe that the reason he has to repeat this and repeat it, you know, he says, come, we have to come to him as little children. And by that, we have to have such an open-mindedness like a child mm-hmm. to receive what he has for us, or we're going to miss it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to not accept and receive everything that he has for us.
Right.
So you're saying, like we do with our kids?
Yes.
You tell them over and over,
yes.
and then they'll say, you already told me that.
Yep. I know.
So, yeah.
I know. Yes.
But did you get it?
Right. Right. Then why are you still doing what I told you not to?
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Now, this gets a little bit more involved here, though, because Jesus, I think he's convincing them about the living bread. But now he says, you know, if you, this is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. And the thing is, the spiritual eating and drinking that Jesus talks about here, it begins with hungering and thirsting for God.
Right.
Hungering and thirsting for him.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that, we're going to eat of the flesh and
right.
we're going to drink and we're going to have that bread of life.
We'll be filled.
Feel and we're going to understand the ways of God. Matthew 5:6, one of the Beatitudes, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So Jesus was trying to get them to see that. And to hunger and thirst, it just means, like Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord. Don't we delight
right.
in the Lord?
When
right. we delight,
yes.
yeah, when we delight in Him, we want
mm-hmm.
more of Him, and we want to be filled, and we want to drink and you know hunger after Him, and we're to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. So delight in the Lord and trust in Him with all of our heart, hunger and thirst after Him. So let's go back to those homemade yeast rolls sitting on the table, ready for you to receive. As wonderful as we think they are, and as much as I love my homemade yeast rolls, sometimes some people will just pass on by. Maybe they've already got a lot on their plate and they don't need anything else to eat. Maybe...
That's not me.
Oh.
Not me.
But you might say, oh, bread puts pounds on me. I better not have bread.
Yeah, that's not me either, but okay.
No. Or say, maybe you're gluten-free.
Right,
I have
exactly.
a granddaughter that's gluten-free, but you right. know what? She always has a yeast roll Thanksgiving. It's worth that little bit of pain, I think,
right.
for one of those homemade rolls. Okay, so maybe some people don't eat it, but most people will just get up there at that table and they'll get not just one.
Right.
I'll get a couple of them.
Yes.
Put more chunks of butter in there and in between them and just devour them and maybe even come back for a third one. Okay, so... most people don't pass that up. They don't hesitate. They want that richness and that flavor and that treat. Well, what about you?
Right.
Have you come to see more about Jesus? Have you rejected the bread of life? Or have you devoured him?
Right.
Longed for him, seeking him, thirsting, hungering for him.
Come back for seconds and
right.
thirds.
Oh,
right.
yeah. continuously, right? Yes. Until they're gone, but yes. they're never gone.
No.
with God, they're never gone. So Jesus is here. He's waiting for you to surrender and receive his presence and his salvation. So let's eagerly reach out and experience that wonderful gift that God has for us. Let's don't reject him. He said that he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What a beautiful promise
right.
for us to just keep on remembering what he said
Amen.
And act upon that. So you can choose what you want to eat in the natural,
right.
and you can choose to receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life. Romans 10, 9 through 10. Oh, Kath, were you going to talk about that?
I've got 652.
Okay, let me go ahead and read this. This is a very, very familiar scriptures for those that people want to know, how do I get saved? Well, Romans 10, 9 and 10 tells us that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen.
So how does that happen? Verse 10, for with the heart we believe on God through our heart, and then we confess with our mouth unto salvation. So you have to believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day, and that he gave you salvation. Okay?
Praise God.
It's so simple. It's there for us to devour, to
right.
long for, to want more of. And verse 13 there in Romans says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He doesn't discriminate. Everyone, whoever calls on the Lord shall be saved. So choose Jesus. He is the bread of life. Makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yes. Amen.
Okay. And Kath's going to read about some more things here.
So I've got John chapter 6, 52 through 59. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? You think they were mocking? How is that going to happen?
I think it was just misunderstood. They just couldn't wrap their minds around it.
Yeah.
Right.
Skeptical.
Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. That's why we take communion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
In all my lands, I have a story mm-hmm. about communion.
Okay.
Ooh, the other night I was sick and I didn't even come to church. I normally don't miss church, but pastor was led to do communion at the beginning of the service and we watched from home, and I felt that lift off of me when we did that communion. The pain and the agony of being sick just was, it was like, it was freeing.
Wow.
So I thank the Lord for his blood, for his healing blood.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As the living Father sent me and I believe I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Let's talk a little bit about manna very quickly. God provided manna as a way to rely on him alone. If the Israelites would have had a fresh grain source all the time, they wouldn't have known how to depend on God.
Right.
They wouldn't have practiced trust and obedience.
It's true.
They would not have really relied or cared about God's provision. There were strict rules about this manna. They were not supposed to take more than just one for that day. And then on the sixth day, they were supposed to take enough for that day and the next day. And if they took more than that, be sure your sins will find you out.
That's
it rotted.
Right.
It rotted.
It
and
stunk.
They couldn't,
right.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. drew maggots and all that kind of stuff.
And you know that the neighbors weren't happy.
Right.
Right.
And
right.
this is all from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They were given very specific instructions on how much to take.
Right.
So God always will give us what we need. He gave us the bread. He gave us the instruction on how to use the bread, the manna. And what I said we were going to talk about earlier, when I do a lesson on manna, I have a little air popper, popcorn popper, and I'll spread a sheet out on the floor and I'll have my kids sit around and I'll do the air popper and I kind of just tell them it kind of like came down like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I think next time I do that, I'm going to do like kettle corn instead so it can be sweet like honey.
That's a great idea. Mm-hmm.
So then, Claire, I think you had some more after this.
Well, it's just that going to church is so important for us as believers. When we gather in God's house, we go to worship, to learn, to pray, and to fellowship. And just last week during praise and the worship time, the Holy Spirit just really came alive in me. And I just, you know, you get overflowed with the Spirit of God and that bread of life. And all I could say was, I want God. I want God. It was just overwhelming with me. And so do we want this bread of life? Yeah, we want this bread of life.
Do you want that third row?
That
that sure. Third row?
Yeah. Why not? I just had a few other things that I had looked up about bread. You know, Jesus, when the devil was tempting him in the wilderness, in the desert, well, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone.
But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes. Amen. But here he is saying that he is the bread of life.
Right.
Genesis 3:19 was first mentioned about bread in the Bible. And God said, in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread.
Amen.
So from the beginning of time, we've had to work for our bread, right? Genesis 14:18 talks as bread is a gift. Don't we love to get those banana nut bread
and
all that sourdough bread? That's
a
gift.
I hope that you're packing up some gifts for us and food, please.
Yeah.
She's made me hungry.
How about pumpkin bread? That's my favorite.
Yes.
Hospitality. It's mentioned more than once, hospitality. Mm-hmm. And we still do that today.
Right.
No matter what kind of meal we serve, whether it's garlic bread or twists or cornbread or whatever, bread is kind of a staple, you know, as a meal. Okay, it sustains life. It's for bread and raiment. Blessings from God.
Talks about
that, that bread and raiment is a blessing from God. It's a sacrifice. It saves from starvation. Sometimes people only have bread to eat, and that's all they have. Bread is a gift. It celebrates the feast in Exodus 20:17. In Leviticus 26:5, it's a memorial.
Right.
Think about that. A memorial to God. Just like when we take communion, the bread and the wine.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of a memorial. It's a sacrament, but
mm-hmm.
memorial to God. Deuteronomy 9:9, they fasted bread. Now, that's a new one. You know, we fast different things. Sometimes fast complete food or whatever, coffee or whatever thing you think is the best thing not to have. But anyway, fasting bread is one of them mentioned. Judges 8:17 talks about strength. Bread gives us strength, doesn't it? And also, this one was kind of surprising, 2 Chronicles 18:16 talks about the bread of affliction. Bread of affliction.
I don't like that bread.
That's not what we want.
Oh, no. We like the blessings, don't we?
Right.
The blessings and gifts.
Nobody's got time for affliction.
Okay. I'm going to pass on that one.
Me too.
Okay, moving on. Just one more. The Levitical sacrifices are called the bread of God. Mm-hmm. They're in Leviticus 21:21. So it's a staple in almost every country and every culture. There's different types of bread, but it is definitely the centerpiece of most meals. And even Jesus, he took the 5 barley loaves, remember?
Right.
And the fish, and he divided it up and fed
all
the multitudes of people. So bread is very, very important as far as an actual thing to eat, substance to eat. But this study, of course, is about Jesus being the bread that gives us life.
Amen. He's all the bread that we're ever going
to
need.
Yes,
he provides everything that we need.
Yeah.
And there's nothing that can take his place. No one or nothing that can take his place. Well, this has been a wonderful study, and I hope that it has blessed everyone that is listening to this as much as it's blessed us to teach it. So if you don't mind at this time, Kath, we'd ask you to pray with our
Absolutely.
Listeners and Bless them.
Thank
Bless
you,
them with
Jesus.
The prayer.
Lord, I just thank you for this time that we got to open up your word to study about the bread of life. You are the breath. You are the bread. You're our sustenance. We pray for our listeners tonight that they would focus more on looking at you and what you're looking for your face, not just your hand. We pray, Lord, that you would help us focus on being able to trust you and know that you're going to take us, carry us through, sustain us like the bread of life you are. Yes, we thank you that if these people don't know you, if they're listening for the first time and they don't know you as their Lord and Savior, that you would help them find it, to reach out to us and let us know that we'll help them come to know you. We just thank you for this ministry. We ask you to bless it. In Jesus' name we pray. Bless our listeners. Amen.
Amen. Well, we just want to say thank you for visiting us today and being in the studio. We enjoyed having you, didn't we, Josh?
Absolutely.
We did. We did.
And besides Claire's talk about dinner and making us all hungry.
Now we all have to go eat.
I've already had mine, so I'm okay.
Clearly. Okay. But we just want to take this time to thank everyone for joining us today. If you haven't already, make for sure you subscribe wherever you are listening so you don't miss an episode. Please leave a review and share with your family and friends so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve, to reach, and to teach.